A Playlist Original.
Buying a second home is a dream for many people. Whether it's a vacation home or a house you can rent out for extra income, investing in real estate can make a positive impact on both your financial portfolio and your lifestyle. But one thing that stops many people from making the dream of owning a second home come true is obviously the cost. How can you come up with enough money to make the down payment on an additional property while you're still managing the expenses of your first home? To help answer these questions, I have a very special guest, Leroy Wright. Most people know him as a creator, TV and radio personality, travel lover, and Spider-Man fanatic. Leroy is also a plant lover and homeowner who recently acquired his second property. I reached out to Leroy to find out if he has any tips for me or anybody who would like to own more than one property. Is this even achievable?
Hey everyone, Leroy here. If I really have to give my full name, it's Leroy Wright. I pretty much started in this lifetime on TV and radio back in the day. And as you get older and a bit fatter, I guess you've got to move into other kind of spheres of life. But I'm all about digital. I'm about PR, I'm about media, I'm about content. And I'm just someone who likes to kind of move as fast as, you know, the digital space moves in my personal life and my kind of career. I'm always wanting to achieve. So in a nutshell, I'm a go-getter, an adventurer, a huge animal lover. And of course, as you get older, I think naturally you love gardening. So yeah, having homes and doing these things, is it kind of all fits 360 and a full circle moment.
Yeah, Leroy. So thank you so much for taking time to answer all my questions. One of the main reasons I reached out was because I saw your Instagram post and you posted that you recently bought your second home. Congratulations on that. And I wanted to chat more about tips on how to buy a second home while maintaining your first home. So firstly, I want to know, what do you look for when you're purchasing a home?
You know, Lerato, I mean, besides all the, I guess, the worries and concerns one have when you are looking to buy a house, as much as it's exciting, you've got to be prepared. So, you know, some of the tricks and trips that I've learned after buying my first one is the most important thing I look for these days is I do my research into the property management company. Because I found with my first property I bought, like, I'm very paranoid around the well-being and the upkeep of the property and almost like the surrounding areas as well. So I do my research in the sense of, like, are they going to be fixing cracks regularly? Are they going to be there when I'm mailing them in terms of, you know, finding out if they are going to be willing to paint if I, you know, chip a wall and everything, and just the general upkeep of the property. That's one of the things I think people don't really look into, but it's so important for many reasons. Obviously, you want to drive into your house and you want it to look good. Mm-hmm. But not just that, though. When you're thinking of selling or putting a renter in to lease the property, you want the property to look good and you want to know that your management, your property management, is there for you to make it attractive and to help you sell the property as quick as possible. Because we know with these trying times, I mean, I can get into it later. I tried to sell my one property last year and it was just a nightmare for many reasons. But through these things, these little tricks and trips that you learn, you kind of like figure out what the next best step is. So that is one of the biggest things when I look for when I want to buy a new home. I look at the property management. I want to know the history. I want to know how many property groups they have under their belt. And I want to know what they've built. And also just do research around, you know, customer reviews about their experience buying with these people. But most importantly, I think it's also very, very important to make sure that you have enough funds to put down as a deposit. I mean, this is probably a conversation on its own mm-hmm. that people don't understand. People go and take full bonds, but that's a scary process. And essentially, you don't want to. And if you want to get into this, we can. But there are so many underlying issues with just going in and buying a property. It's not as easy as you think. It's easy to sign the paper, but the admin around it and the financial risk and just the mental fatigue and the mental kind of like ability to know that you will be secure enough to take this project on, that's a lot in its own.
Yeah, that's totally true. Speaking of management, this morning I actually woke up and we had a leaking pipe. Well, my neighbor's pipe is leaking and all his sewage is coming into my yard. This is the second time this happens in 2 months.
No way.
So I was outside at 7 a.m. and I sent a text to my neighbor, and by 9 o'clock there was somebody here fixing it. So I asked what's causing this issue because this is the second time we're actually having this problem. And they said they think there's a problem with my pipe, like the inside of my house, which is not covered by the property management company. So I have to pay for that. And I'm just like, goodness gracious, I just moved into this house 2 months ago. The last thing I want to be doing is spending
Oh,
another 5 grand
gosh.
fixing pipes. But yeah, that's something I'm dealing with this morning. I was just very happy they came by to sort out the leakage outside and they cleaned up and everything. But now I still have to pay more to fix whatever the issue is. So yeah, property management companies, that's something you should research, which I didn't even do. So I'm learning new stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, you see, it's so important, and I mean, exactly what you're just experiencing is it's crappy, but it's part of it's part of the notion and like the project of having a house, purely because let's say that pipe does cost you 3 to 5,000 rand. That could essentially be a make or break for you in terms of your next month to pay your bond and just your living expenses. It could completely throw you off. So
Yeah.
you have to be prepared for all these things. And I mean, this is another conversation one could have in the sense of like there's always one should have almost like a home kitty on the one side where you can pull money from that should these things arise.
Yeah, that is true. So I want to ask you, when it came to buying your second property, was the process easier or less stressful? How did you go about it?
I can honestly tell you the process was a lot easier for many reasons. Number one being, I've been through it. I knew exactly what it was about. And to be honest, like with my first property, I went in with a bond. I put down a small deposit, but I still had a bond, a decent amount of bond, more than 500,000 rand for my first apartment. But that was 4 years ago. So I knew my goal was, to be honest, to buy another property within 3 years from that. That was my goal I was working towards. And because I set myself that goal, I knew I had to save at least a large lump sum of a deposit. And that's exactly what I did. I put down quite a big deposit on my second place. And that made the process so much easier. And because I did that, I was able to access the funds in my access bond to help me buy the second property, purely because I had managed to pay off the first house already, if that makes sense. So all these ways that you learn, you don't learn by doing the research. You actually learn by figuring it out yourself mostly. Because to be honest, I didn't know of using my access funds and my access bond until one of my friends who also just bought a property told me, like, no man, that money is there. You've paid that money, it's yours. Use that instead of taking a second bond. Now, many people wouldn't do that. They'll be too afraid to access the access funds, or they'll just want to take out a second bond because that's the process that gets taught to us via the media, via all these agencies who want to sell you bonds and via the banks. But essentially, you don't want to put yourself in double debt. That's exactly what I would have done if I didn't use my access funds. So the process was easy on that front of me knowing what I had been through before. And secondly, it was also a lot easier knowing that I've done my research on this property management company and I knew what I was going into. Like, I really bought in one of, I think, the best property management groups. I bought into Summercon, if I can say it. And that really made me feel comfortable because I knew what they were about. I knew a few people who had bought in Summercon and they told me about their experience. But I think also as one gets older in life and you get a bit more wise on these things, don't get me wrong, buying a property is still scary. Scary in the fact that, like, you know, this amount of money every single month. But at the same time, you get wiser as you go. So the biggest thing for me, and you know, the biggest amount of like advice I can give is that deposit you put down is a make or break in your comfortability of having a new home. That stress factor is reduced so much for me. To be honest, like I'm sitting here right now talking to you, I don't have any stress around my property because I know I've done and I've made a wise decision on how I bought. I didn't buy lavishly. I didn't buy exorbitant amount of money. I bought almost in the kind of the same range of what I bought the first time around. So I was prepared and I had more experience. So there's so much to talk about when it comes to property. And that's why it's so exciting that I'm having this chat to you because people don't know what they don't know. They only know what they know. So the more they hear from people, the better for them. Because these days, I mean, my brother's 25 years old, and I can't imagine being in his shoes now. Cool, we're 8 years apart. But for younger people these days to get onto their own 2 feet and buy into a property, it's so difficult. I mean, with unemployment scorching and reaching new heights. Like, imagine being young and wanting to get onto your own two feet, but you just can't because the opportunities are so limited and that daunting factor. So it's a scary process. And that's why I decided to help my brother. To be honest, I put my brother into my one apartment and I'm charging such a...
what are you doing with your second home? So are you renting it out?
So this, the new home that I bought, I'm going to be looking for a renter soon. Mm-hmm. I would like to get someone in from January. In my first place, like, I put my brother in there just because I felt a little bit that it was my duty to help my brother out. So I put him in with his girlfriend, and they're living at a kind of a very reduced rent. I mean, it's not the normal standard. But you see, through that, that covers my rates and my levies of both my properties. Ah. So essentially, I don't have those worries. I just have to know that I need to pay my bond every single month. So it's through these small kind of clever ways, you learn tricks of the trade to help ease the responsibility of that stress around a property.
Yeah, that is so true. So I want to know, speaking about like your deposit, do you have any tips for somebody who's saving for their second home? So how did you save? And also, how do you manage your expenses? How do you keep track of what you're spending and on the different properties in case you want to sell it one day? So how will you know the value?
So to go to your first point, you know, people always think because, you know, I've been on TV for 9 years of my life and radio that we live lavish lives and, you know, we do things. Essentially, that's all bullcrap. A lot of stuff we get for free or just looks good on Instagram or social media. But essentially, I've always been very, very money savvy. And to the extent of, you know, you spoke earlier on that you saw my post on Instagram that I bought my second property. And one line in there, I said, like, cool, I worked hard, I saved. And this comes from only buying sneakers that are on sale. And what that actually meant is, to be honest, it's exactly that for me. I don't spend unnecessary things. Like, when I say I only buy my sneakers on sale, I've never spent more than 800 Rand on a pair of shoes, if that gives you an understanding. Mm-hmm. I'm very conscious of the fact that, like, I want my assets and my bank account to look good rather than I want to look good all the time and spend my money. To be honest, like, so to answer your question of how I did it, Narata, I set my ass off every single month. There's no way around it. If I can save an extra 1,000 Rand a month, I save it and I push it straight into my bond. There's no me going to nightclubs or going out for lavish dinners every single weekend, every single night. I'm very paranoid. As much as a bond is an investment, but it's still debt. You still owe someone money. Yeah. And having that thought at the back of my head, it kills me. Like, I want to finish it off as much and as quick as I can. Yes, we all have our expenditures and what we want to spend on to make us happy, but you need to manage it. You can't be like, cool, there's 1,000 Rand left for the month. And you know what? I don't need anything, but let's just go spend it and buy 2 new tops. No, put that 1,000 Rand into your bank account, into your bond, because that 1,000 Rand, in the long run, every single bit, it deduces your monthly installments much. And not just that, though, the length of your bond over the 20 or 30 years you've taken it by so much. And you learn this by speaking to people. The bank's not going to tell you this. The bank wants to take as much money from you as possible every month. They're not going to, you know, educate you on paying your bond. It's through people and learning through others who have been through it. And then, you know, speaking about, like, you know, how do you make sure you have enough funds? Were you referring to when I sell or when I buy?
How do you keep track of, like, how much money you've spent on fixing the house and with the small things to make changes to the property? So let's say in the future you're going to sell, like you said, you were trying to sell one of your properties. So how do you keep record of all your expenses on the house?
So first of all, I mean, I will always make sure I have money in my account should, you know, things arise, like, for example, your pipe bursting or my geyser bursting. But I do. I mean, to be honest, I purely because in my situation, my brother's in my one property. So we're very open, honest about if things should break or things. Luckily, nothing has broken yet because both properties are kind of fairly only like 3-4 years old. So they're kind of new, but you never know. So it's always important to be prepared for these things and have a small amount of money aside that you, I don't want to say you shouldn't touch it, but you should know that you are comfortable enough to always have something should something go wrong.
Yeah.
But when it comes to selling a property, I mean, as much as in buying, there's always some hidden cost involved in terms of like your transfer fee or your lawyer's fees and all that. So before even thinking of selling your property, you need to be prepared for these things. So when I bought my second property, I knew in my current bank account that I had enough for transfer fees and I had enough for my lawyer's fees over and above what I would have to spend in the property. So I knew I had that, because that's the first step for me, is to know that, because you know you're going to be paying on average a certain amount to the lawyers and you're going to be paying a certain amount to your transfer fee, which you can work out already. There's all these bond calculators already available on the internet, so you can do this work. But people always want to jump in and buy the house, but then they're like, oh crap, you know, now my lawyer's charging me 30 grand to list this at the deeds office or whatever it may be. And you're not prepared for these costs. But it's so important to just know that you are comfortable enough to make these big purchases. It's literally like, you know, sometimes I make it seem so stupid, but it's like going to, like, let's say, a restaurant or a McDonald's, and you want to buy the Happy Meal, or you buy the meal, but you'd like an extra large Coke. And then you look at your funds and you're like, I really want it, but I actually can't afford it because I still know I need to get a taxi home or an Uber home.
Yeah.
So you've got to be disciplined in that sense of like, this is what I can do right now and I'm okay with it. At least it's a lot more than someone else is able to afford. And this is what I also found, like people are so afraid to maybe not do things to the best of their ability, but in our environment, in our social environment about how we live these days, everybody's almost trying to compete with everyone else.
Yeah.
And that adds so much extra pressure onto just so many things. But stay in your lane, know what you want, and go for what you want, in the sense of you know how much you can afford in a certain property, and then make that happen for you, purely because you know what your goal is. Like my goal is now to rent out my second, you know, property and get income from that. So alone that pays my bond and a bit more, purely because I did put an extra deposit down on the house. So with all these things, when you make the right choices, it makes your whole process easier. So because I put a large deposit down, I'm able to have a reduced rate, which means now from the beginning, when I rent my property out, I'm already making a profit.
Yeah.
So those are the tricks to take that you need to learn. So that deposit is so important. I mean, I have a friend who didn't buy a house until he had almost 800,000 rand in his bank account to put down as a deposit. He was so adamant that he needed a large deposit because he didn't want the bond. There's nothing wrong with having a bond, but I mean, if you can buy a house close to its purchasing price, like, geez, that's the dream for everyone, yes. Right? So why not aspire to that as much as you can?
Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website www.unpack.co.za to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.